Whether you're in search of a great new bottle of wine or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Are you glorified fry cook?
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5. Wine's prettier to drink a wine, mama. Pass that bottle to me.
That song never gets old.
Yeah, it does.
All songs, it just gets better with age. Like,
oh, well, okay. I'm going to say it does get old because it's like 75 years old.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, speaking of old, Mel Brooks is 94 years old today.
94 years young.
Yeah, that's it.
You know what? There's a man that can make fun of anyone.
Yeah, but I doubt he could release some of the movies today that he did, like Blazing Saddles.
I let some millennials watch Blazing Saddles, and they were two lines into the movie before their eyes got wide. And I said, oh, just hold on.
Oh, just
this is the way humor's supposed to be.
Grab your White Claw and hold on. Good morning, Stu.
Good morning, Michael.
Good
Leanna, good to have you.
Good morning.
Welcome to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu
and everybody.
We're just sitting here sipping and chewing.
Anyway.
Then we're going to talk about it.
Yes. Yeah. I'm having some water with some green tea in it. Mike's having just some water with
some water.
In it.
Yeah.
Or vodka in a water bottle.
Yeah, yeah. So I saw you went somewhere yesterday.
I did. I was given orders.
Orders.
By the little lady.
Uh-oh.
To head down to Fairhope Brewery. Fine local brewery. One of my favorites. That Judge Roy
Bean
coffee stout.
They were a sponsor a long time ago in the very beginning.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, they came out with a hard cider. Now, you and I are not the hard cider type.
No.
Or not cider.
I don't have
hard
a man,
seltzer.
I don't have a seltzer. I don't have a man bun.
But Heather does enjoy them.
Mm-hmm.
She also loves a mojito, and they have come out with their very first hard seltzer called Last of the Mojitos.
Yes, that's very
spin on the Fenimore Cooper book. You
know, yeah,
that's the Mohicans.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Mohicans did not wear the hairdo called a mohawk. That was the Iroquois, but people confuse them because both were in that book.
Anyway, I've stayed up many nights wondering. About
that. I know, Michael. I know. But so I went down and grabbed a sixer of that, and it was good to be in there. They had crowds, you know, spaced out like they should be, just having a good time.
Good.
Like they should be.
Like they should be.
Yeah, and they had plenty of outdoor seating. They had some indoor seating with people broken up at the bar, and it felt like America walking in there. And then on the way back, even though it's right across the street from where I'm working right now, but I waited to hit it on the way back, I stopped into Champy's.
Oh, my God.
Not for the fried chicken, though. Not for the fried chicken. For the tamales.
Yes.
Delta-style tamales, which I've only had one other place, which was the Blue City Diner on Beale Street in Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
And I said when I had them, these are the best tamales I've ever had in my life. And Champy's has those tamales.
Cool.
The Delta style has a hot sauce that they're cooked with, as opposed to the traditional style, which I love also. But I found I have always just doused them in hot sauce as soon as I got a plate of them.
Yeah.
This saves me the trouble. And I had to live with that smell all the way across the bay. All the way through down 158 to finally get home and just dive into those tamales. A dozen of them, Mike.
Oh, wow. It's
you know like how many we got sack. Left?
None.
Six.
Really?
Yeah.
Couldn't eat them all?
Well, Heather had two. I had four. And then we went down to Big Creek Lake to watch the sun. I had heard that the sunset was going to be pretty if it cleared up, and it did. But they're talking about the Saharan dust cloud is supposed to give us some incredible sunsets.
That's what I hear.
And I don't know if it had any effect because I haven't read what the effect is supposed to be, but just a gorgeous sunset yesterday. But, you know, we're in an area that's known for gorgeous sunsets.
Someone was saying, and maybe Bill Finch would know more about this than us than me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he does, that we get Sahara dust all the time anyway.
We do.
And that's what causes our brilliant sunsets in the U.S.
But I think this is an unprecedented cloud that is headed this way.
It's unprecedented. It's supposed to be out of here by tomorrow.
Yeah. And, yeah, so in fact, it's been a huge part of why the climate and everything here works for thousands of years. So it's not like it's another swarm of locusts.
It's not one of the ten plagues
from the Bible or anything.
It's just like one of those storms rolling off the western coast of Africa.
Yeah, sometimes it's a tropical storm and sometimes it's a Category 5.
Yeah. You know? I mean, it takes the same path, you know.
Yeah. And, but beautiful sunset.
Yeah.
Yesterday. Enjoyed our time. There's a nice little community I've seen that pops up at Big Creek Lake right around sunset every
day. Some beautiful – I've pulled over and made U-turns to come back and just take pictures of sunsets.
Oh, I mean a social scene. There's a number of families come down right around sunset. They've got some picnic tables down there at the lake now. Everybody keeps to their own little groups, but everyone's watching the sun. It's like being in a tiny little redneck Key West. But we took Bug with us and gave her a little walk. And then we were debating where we were going to go for dessert. Because, you know, a light little dinner like that, you need some dessert. You especially. You understand.
I understand.
You need it. It's a moral requirement. And then it dawned on us, all the stores are about to close. We're not going to get to Walmart or Winn-Dixie or any place before they close because they close at 8:30.
That sell those awesome desserts.
Well, they're decent enough when you don't want to make one yourself. So we settle for Whataburger.
What do they have this dessert?
Dr. Pepper milkshake, which was really good. But we also, she was like, you know, I could go for some French fries in my milkshake. So we each, you know, got a combo. I got that, if you haven't had it, that avocado bacon burger that they have on special right now. That is so good. First time I got it, I was working down on the island, and I went through it was actually the same Whataburger, Snow Road and Airport. And when I reached in the bag, there was like a 2-inch thick pile of napkins in the bag. And I went, oh, man, that girl just profiled me, figuring I'm a slob. And then I took another picture a few minutes later of me covered with avocado going, oh, she knew it was going to happen.
Lots of napkins.
Yeah. You wear that sandwich, and I have always said that the best food is food that you wear.
I got to lick it between my fingers.
Yeah. Well, think about with the best food being food you wear. Barbecue gets all over your face.
All over.
Tacos, what happens? All over your shirt. Best food. Sloppy Joe's.
Love Sloppy Joe's.
Yeah. Best food you can eat, you also wear. How about that, Michael?
I like that.
Did you do anything this week at all?
Yeah, I went and ate at Guido's the other day. And I had to pass up on the dessert because they give you so much food, you got to take food home.
Yeah.
You got to take it to go. But I could not risk it, and so I went ahead and ate it all.
Okay, good man, good man. Because you don't know.
Ribeye with fried oysters on top.
Oh, that's my favorite steak sauce. that's what I call that. That's stew, steak sauce, fried oysters on top of steak.
I got something important happening tomorrow.
All right.
Tomorrow will be my 33rd year anniversary in the wine business.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was a week exactly like this where I started work on a Monday, and then I was off Friday and Saturday. I come from retail, many years of retail, right into wholesale business. And I worked Monday through Thursday, and then I was off on Friday and off on Saturday, which I wasn't used to being off on Saturday and Sundays and holidays. It took a while to adjust that day.
I can imagine.
I couldn't sleep late because I felt I had to get up and go to work. It took about 4 months to get over that. Especially with the holidays coming up. And, but, yeah, 33 years in the wine business.
Well, there you go, buddy.
And I've done many other things, but I've always
You've always had a bottle of wine in your hand while doing everything else.
Whatever I can,
You've always had a keg in your back pocket.
Whatever I can, but it's been a great fun ride, and I'll do it as long as I can, part time and whatever. And so,
well, as we are going to break, you can join us 343-0106. Somebody just textified. Don't forget food that you can wear that's delicious. A barbecue shrimp po' boy from New Orleans. Yeah, that's good food.
I hope this virus is gone before October gets here to go to the Oak Street Po' Boy Festival.
Oh, that does sound like a deal, doesn't it?
It does that.
343-0106, folks. Come on back.
In the mountains of Tennessee, they like the smoky sauce. But over there in old Memphis, a dry rub rib is boss. The folks down in Georgia, they can't pick up their mind. You can give it to them sweet or spicy, and they'll say that tastes all right. And you might think the South Carolinians are just a little bit off. Would you believe their barbecue's yellow with a mustard sauce? Pork shoulder is the cut of choice in Mississippi. And they fried themselves on barbecue that's totally vinegary. In Louisiana, them Cajuns, they like to spice it up.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Well, Michael.
Well, what?
On our next break, we're going to have some guests.
Yeah.
Chef David Buster and his partner, Jer McCutcheon, which is an old friend of mine from, I lose track of how many places I worked with Jer at. Fine bartender, which is how I know whether you recognize the name or not. You know him because he's a bartender, and you've been in front of every bartender in Mobile County at some point, selling your goods,
exactly. After 33 years, delivering
your products. But David and Jer are going to be on. They have taken on the monumental task of opening a brand new restaurant during the middle of quarantine. It wasn't a case of, man, we got all this time on our hands, what should we do? It was a case of they'd been working to open a restaurant and all this garbage happened. So, you keep fighting. So we're going to hear from them at the bottom of the hour, and they're going to tell us about fresh off the boat. My guess is seafood, don't you think?
You know, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That
adds up. I actually know, and Jer and I have been talking about it for a couple of months now. Yeah. So I knew that they were working to build this up, and I wanted to have them on because I've seen some of the menu items, and it looks terrific. And it's at Sand Rock K Marina, so you know the seafood's going to be fresh because they can walk outside the window and snatch it out. So.
Throw it off the boat right up on the dock.
Yeah, fresh off the boat.
Yeah.
What a great name.
Somebody ought to put the restaurant.
Yeah, but they'll be on in the next segment from Orange Beach. And, we'll talk to them about the struggles of trying to open during this. And I'm trying to get with the folks from Yellowhammer Coffee. They opened in Sims, their new brick and mortar, Saturday, just a brief little 12 to 4, just to see how things go.
I was driving by yesterday, and I drove right by there, and they had a huge crowd in the parking lot.
Good.
I don't know if they had a speaker or what, but yeah, I thought, what in the world is going on there?
Well, maybe it's a church service. And maybe it's Seventh Day Adventist.
I saw it was Yellowhammer, so that's cool.
Man. Yeah, they've had a trailer across from Mary Montgomery for
Open these places up, man.
Yeah, get it while you can.
Yeah, a lot of times there are just as good at times to open up.
Yeah.
During problems like COVID-19 I've known people
post-hurricanes,
when there's been disaster or horrible economic issues. It is
one of the constants of the universe. Everything travels in waves.
Yeah.
Well, except for digital signals. But still, there's ups and downs.
Yeah.
And for every economic situation where people are losing money, there's somebody else getting rich off of it.
And, you know, I want to say something.
You just did.
Last night, I was looking on Facebook, and there was this, you know, what's happening Fairhope, what's happening Mobile, what's happening Daphne. Well, on what's happening Foley, somebody said, is Ruby Tuesday's closed? And everybody, yes, it is. They said, I'm shocked. Why are they closed? And so I simply said, support local. Go to a locally owned restaurant. There's plenty of locally owned restaurants there. I ate at Desmond's Jamaican restaurant the other day. Phenomenal. Ooh.
Oh, really? Where's
this?
Yeah,
it's right there on 98 at 59, right there at the crossroads. Okay. And it's just a few buildings back. But it was delicious. And, you know, I got the pork chop. It had pineapple on it and jerk juice, jerk juice all over it. And what you do is you eat the pork chop first.
Okay.
And then you got your pile of rice. You got your pile of turnips there.
And then
you got all that juice.
That pot liquor
in the bottom of that plate, and you just start scraping that stuff over.
Sounds good. Did you have the cocoa bread?
Cocoa bread.
The only cornbread that is acceptable to be sweet is the cocoa bread from Jamaica, which is a very sweet cornbread. But it kills the heat. It helps battle that. Other than the cocoa bread, if you put sugar in it, it's not cornbread. You've made cake.
Okay.
Just keep that in mind.
All right.
Now, if you like sweet cornbread, that's fantastic, but don't call it cornbread.
Sometimes.
Corn cake. Because I enjoy it.
I love that buttermilk.
With a little Cairo syrup on top of it. It's good. But it's not cornbread. And if you're serving it with collards and it's sweet, that is a horrible combination.
But let me get back to what I was saying. Foley is growing like crazy. I mean,
like a fungus?
Bigger than that. I mean, I've had people, this couple I met, they're at Desmond's. They're from up north in Illinois, and they came down 18 years ago, and they decided this is where they want to live. They bought a house, and they were just down to sign the papers, and they said, oh, my God, this place has exploded since we were here 18 years ago. And I said,
Did you tell them maybe you want to move to Stockton now?
Yeah. I mean, they got everything in the world there, and all these chain restaurants are there.
Right.
And, I've told these people, there's plenty of locally owned restaurants and mom-and-pop businesses. Right. Support them. So what if the chains go? I hate that people are losing their jobs.
Right.
But
go work at a
locally owned restaurant, and you'll probably be treated better, you know, usually.
Well, yeah. the thing with a corporate restaurant that they do offer from an employment standpoint is things that locals can't, and it's because of the chain restaurants, the way they destroyed our restaurant scene, is that they can offer insurance after a certain time. They can offer some vacation. A lot of them, and I have always applauded Brinker International for this, the parent company that owns Chili's and Maggio's and a couple other places, is tuition assistance for college students.
Oh, there's that.
Yeah. And those are all positive things. And I've told every chef, if you get a chance to work a couple of years for a corporate restaurant, do so. Because they have adopted things from an operational standpoint that are better than anything you're going to learn in culinary school.
Yeah.
But you have to remember, and this even goes for, because people bring it up all the time, well, I own a franchise, but I live here locally. Well, you're still not a locally owned and operated company. No. You're a locally owned franchise.
You're diluted. Your recipes are diluted.
Well, it could be a great franchise. I have no problem with that. The issue is whether you're a locally owned franchise or part of a corporate chain, 70 cents of every dollar that customers spend there leaves the city of Mobile forever and never comes back.
And Foley and
all those places. Right. Yeah. We're currently sitting in Mobile. Yeah. So I went with that. But that even with a franchise – And here's the thing with the franchising. Most restaurant franchises are bait and switch ripoffs. The classic example for that is Quiznos subs. Loved Quiznos. It was great subs, wasn't it? They did not make money by selling sandwiches. They made money by selling franchises to people who didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah.
And when the market maxed out and there was no one to buy any more restaurants and they had to suffice on just their sandwich sales, they went under in like 6 years. And that is what the deal is with franchises, especially if it's something that's not more than 5 or 6 years old. Because that was the thing with Quiznos. It went in like 7 years from 3 or 4 locations to the fastest growing restaurant in the world. But nothing was proven.
Yeah,
they hadn't proved that the concept could be sustainable over a period of time. Subway, it's been around for 40 years, 50 years. You know, you buy a Subway franchise, McDonald's franchise, Burger King franchise, it's going to work because it's worked everywhere else.
Yeah.
Some new idea that's 2 or 3 years old, I would think long and hard.
Flash in a pan.
Yeah. Talk to some other people other than the person selling you the franchise that are experts and see what they think.
Yeah.
Before you do that, because the majority of these pop-up new franchises, hey, this is going to be the hot new thing, will come back to me when it is the hot new thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we got to go to break, 3430106, but we're going to be joined by Chef Dave Buster and Jer McCutcheon.
I'm looking forward to it.
Good, good, good. Mike, sing a little something for the folks, okay?
Chestnuts roasting.
Chipmunks.
Oh, it's too early.
Chipmunks.
That's 6 months from now.
Chipmunks roasting on an open fire. Yeah. And you got a question up here in the chat.
What is that?
What is a good wine to pair with my sunny side eggs bacon? Mike's favorite.
Champagne.
Sutter Home White Zinfandel.
Champagne. Champagne.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Our guest has not called in yet, but do we have a caller holding on the line over there?
We do. We have Rick.
Rick. Good morning, Rick. How are you this morning, buddy?
I'm doing great. What a beautiful day, huh?
It's going to be. Yes, it is. Sahara beautiful.
Yeah, I'm going to spend on Quiznos for you. Another thing Quiznos did, of course, you had to buy your supplies through Quiznos,
mm-hmm.
and they were at an inflated price. So if you're going to do a franchise, you had to make sure that you don't have to pay an inflated price for supplies compared to the local market.
Yeah, that's another thing. And I said bait and switch earlier. What a lot of those franchises are is pyramid schemes. They're legal.
Term for it.
Yeah, but they're legal pyramid schemes. My father used to work the bunco every now and then for Sheriff Bridges back in the 70s, and he would have to go to some of these pyramid schemes that were very popular back then, and you had the customer or whoever came to it had to walk away with a physical product or it was illegal.
Mm-hmm.
So they would go through their spiel that had nothing to do with what they do, and then they'd give everybody like a Ginsu knife or something at the end.
That, awesome.
Yeah, that there's was always, what,
there's always some way around the law in there.
Right, but that should also be your tip-off. You go to a pyramid scheme, they're going to tell you how much money you're going to make with candied apples, and then at the end they give you a Ginsu knife.
Right.
You know.
Well, it seems too good to be true. It probably is.
Yeah, exactly.
Always, yeah. Always.
All right, Rick, thanks for calling
thank
in,
you,
buddy.
Yeah. Enjoy the show, guys.
Thanks.
Hey, well, thank you. I love these people on Facebook. They'll go or social media, and they go we're going to give away $6,000 at Lowe's tomorrow. We're going to give away this travel van.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at the people who share it. All you got to do is like it and share it.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that all the time. And I go, let me know when you win it.
Right.
And I want to see it. And
Mark Currington that owns Bay City Grill with his wife, Gina. By the way, happy birthday, Gina. and Mark is always posting comments will just say anything. Folks. Tesla is not giving away 7,000 cars to Facebook users.
That's what I always say.
Yeah. And every time the new one pops up, it's not real. You don't have to Google anything. No one's just going to give you a $100,000
vehicle. And I look who's sharing it. And I go, really? This person graduated from college and has a good job. And you believe this?
Yeah. Now, but then on a smaller level, it's a great marketing thing, and Rock and Roll Sushi here locally is one that does the like, share, comment, and they do give away a gift card for like $25 or for a free roll. That's legitimate.
Yeah.
But a Tesla? First off, millionaires can't afford a Tesla, and that's why the U.S. taxpayer pays $2 for every one that a millionaire pays when they buy a Tesla. Every single Tesla is paid for by the American taxpayer.
I don't know why people buy these electric cars because you still got to have coal and electricity.
Oh, yeah. They're much worse on the environment. Much worse on the environment because they require electricity, which is produced by coal, which is worse than gasoline. The deal with – and yes, we do need to diversify the sources of energy that we use.
Mm-hmm.
But another constant in the universe is anytime you produce energy, there's going to be waste.
Yeah,
it's constant. There's no way to avoid it. It's physics. It's not a law we can change in Congress. You need to take that up with the universe.
I was driving through Iowa. No, was it Iowa?
We were driving through
Indiana. I was driving through Indiana going to Chicago.
Chicago.
And you look out in these massive, for thousands of acres of cornfields, there's the windmill.
Wind turbine, which is great, and it's a wonderful
as
source.
As far as you can see.
And people will go, well, that's completely clean. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
They kill 500 birds a day nationally.
Bald eagles.
Yeah, including the endangered ones.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're indiscriminate. They just fly into this giant blade that shouldn't be 100 feet up in the air to a bird. Why is there a giant propeller just floating in the sky?
You know, they build those things over in Pensacola.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
We saw a lot of them on our trip to North Dakota, and some of them, the blades just on trucks, mm-hmm. and it's impressive.
The blades,
how large they
and
are.
Then you can see the knuckle that holds the blades on a flatbed truck, and then you'll see the big housing, the big thing. And they build those over in Pensacola.
And it's not like I'm saying, let's not do other forms of energy. We need to, but you need to understand all of them.
There's always a negative.
Look, they built this solar. Power plant, for lack of a better term, in Australia that's something like 40 acres of all mirrors. And they go, well, there you go. All right. Well, this focuses all of the sunlight in a circle into a main thing, produces enough electricity to power a town about the size of Hattiesburg.
Mm-hmm.
To do this, they had to take the amount of land that the city of Hattiesburg occupies and cover it with mirrors. So that's not good for the environment because you just eliminated this land because anything that walks between those ground mirrors and the mirror in the center is vaporized. A person, a dog, anything that goes in there is just burnt up because it's highly focused. That's not a good environment. So, yes, it does hurt the environment.
Just use what God gave us.
Yeah, well, we are. Use all of it. I like that. I'd like to diversify.
Yeah.
The gas will last longer that way. But it is, and that is also a natural source of energy. Well, that's what people forget.
If you drive up,
crude oil is dead animals and plants.
Right up from the center part of Foley, on the right hand side. If you're going north, they've got a big field of solar panels.
Oh, cool!
And it's not a big field; it's maybe a half an acre, or whatever. And I think, what are they able to? To supply and run off of
it's probably something. Maybe it runs their combines or some kind of processing.
And I look,
that's great.
I look at these windmills at restaurants. You know who they are,
right?
And that's fine. I mean,
they help them considerably as well.
I'm sitting there and I was looking at one. There's an osprey nest up in one on the side. I'm going, what if that osprey gets out of the wrong side of the bed one morning?
He will be ospreyed all over the place.
Well, what goes good with osprey?
Sham pipple.
That's sham pipple. So. That's ribbon.
Yeah.
Sanford.
Next week,
yes,
we'll try and get on the show. A good caller, a textifier to all the shows, David Hubble, is working with this Merleton project.
Yeah.
And they have discovered a thought extinct white Merleton from Louisiana, also known as chayote squash in the other 49 states. And they've got seeds from it, and they're trying to get – they've got some skilled Merleton farmers who are going to try and bring this strain back. So we're going to have him on because I am fascinated with bringing back heirloom breeds of the fruits and vegetables. Those beautiful round red tomatoes do look great. But that's not what a tomato is supposed to look like. That's what a scientist thought a tomato should look like. If you've seen those ugly yellow ones, and they look all weird and misshapen, like a pumpkin that got dropped, that's a real tomato, and they're so good. And I want to see us get back to using more of these heirloom things because that means we've got away from the genetically modified foods.
Right.
That Monsanto, which now calls himself Bear Aspirin, by the way, Monsanto purchased small little Bear Aspirin and changed their name to Bear because Bear is a trusted product and Monsanto is deservedly not a trusted product.
Right. You know, the same thing in the wine industry.
Right.
You've got, if you look at some of the expensive, more expensive bottles of wine, or particularly the European wines, mm-hmm. the punt in the bottom of the bottle, that little indention.
Right.
That some of them are so deep you can put your whole thumb in. Mm-hmm. That's to catch sediment.
Right. So that it falls off onto the edges.
so that it's not floating in the mm-hmm. bottle. And if the bottle stays still long enough, mm-hmm. that it will catch the sediment in the bottom.
Right.
And see, I love a wine that's not totally filtered.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've got these processes, and I want to tell you, these filters cost a lot of money. And when they pump the wines from one tank mm-hmm. through the filters into another tank, it goes in cloudy, and then right. when it comes out the other end,
clear.
It's clear, whatever color it is, but it's clear.
Mm-hmm.
And
but
I
translucent.
Like
translucent. We'll call it translucent.
That's it, translucent. Anyway, mm-hmm. I like a little bit of sediment in my wine.
Mm-hmm.
I really do, and Petit Sirah particularly, and some heavy cabs, some big – oh, and some Montepulciano's. And see, you need that little bit of sediment in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had people shake the bottle up and then put it in a blender, hopefully or not, just to stir the sediment up in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
– because those are minerals basically?
Or? Well, I mean, it's everything that's in – everything is good for you.
It's okay.
There, you know I know Mr. Edens.
So you have to drink all that liquid to get to the healthy stuff. Okay, I can make that deal
Mr.
with you.
Mr. Edens up at Perdido yeah. Vineyards, you know, there's a lot of health benefits to muscadine and scuppernong.
Oh, yeah.
And they take
They have,
the
what, twice
powder.
The amount of resveratrol than regular wine grapes?
And the antibodies are just phenomenal. And but you, in some studies, like Georgia, University of Georgia, They've done studies where it helps with men who have prostate problems.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of other health benefits to men and women with it. And they've actually taken the grape and let them dry
right.
Itself and then, you know, pulverize it, powder it, and put it in capsule form. And, you know, there's a lot of health benefits. And like there always has been
right,
with
right.
wine. But I like that little bit of sediment. And mm-hmm. that's the old way, the
right.
old way.
There are – I have had some beers. The one that comes to mind is Rogue Chocolate Stout, mm-hmm. which I thoroughly enjoy. And you're not supposed to drink the last swallow or two of it because it has sediment. But I paid for that, so I'm going mm-hmm. to drink it.
Yeah.
I've never had a problem with it.
You go, boy. You go, boy.
It's no worse than having a few coffee mm-hmm. grounds in your coffee.
Or, exactly.
Or a little bit of tea leaf in there.
I love. You went to
Little Baby Dokes.
You went to Fairhope yesterday. I love their Judge Roy Bean.
Yeah,
stout.
That
oh
is fantastic.
God, I'm not a stout guy, but I love that one.
Yeah, and that's the one I like to use to braise short ribs in. Call it my Judgment Day ribs. Mm-hmm. We used to do that at Bella Sarah, and I believe you may have had that at one or two weddings.
Our divorces. I used to deal with a spice company up in Canandaigua, New York, and they use a lot of coffee beans ground up in their spices and rubs
nice.
And stuff yeah. like that. It's pretty cool.
Well, I hate to rub you this way, but we got to go to a break, buddy.
Again?
Yeah. 343-0106 if you want to get in on the conversation or textify.
We're seeing some of them are awake to this,
yeah,
this morning.
Yeah, there's a few folks awake today. Yeah, it's funny. I think I went to bed at 10 o'clock last night, and it was hard getting up when that alarm went off.
Always is. 343-0106.
I said that. Gosh, my.
343-0106. 343-0106.
At Alice's restaurant, you can get anything you want. At Alice's restaurant, walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
All them cats is drinking that wine, drinking that mess.
All right, Michael.
I ain't what?
Last segment.
Yeah.
I ain't got anything to talk about, haven't you? Now, actually, I got my tags this week for our vehicles.
Finally.
Well,
all those
kudos
trips.
To Mobile County License yeah. Commission. They have changed it to there's no lines. It is by appointment only.
Oh, God.
No, that is perfect. Now, you may have a hard time getting them on the phone. All you got to do is go to the website. They got a contact page. Go to it. Tell them what you want. 20, 30 minutes max. Mm-hmm. You'll probably get an email from someone wanting to know, is this preferable? It was a wonderful experience. I got there. I tried to do both of them on Tuesday. I got there. My appointment was at 9. I was there about 10 minutes early because I expected a line.
Yeah.
Nope. No line. The parking lot's pretty much empty. Walk up, give them my name. She goes, walk over to that lady, check in with her. Walked over, checked in with her. She goes, you can go to that one, or that one. Let's send you to number 12. And it was just like it was before all of this happened. And everything's peaceful. It's quiet. They're able to sit there and not rush through things because there's a line and make sure you get everything. Turns out I was missing one document to register the van. Mm-hmm. She went ahead and went out, checked the van VIN number to make sure it matched and everything like that. So all I had to do was come back and give them that one document, which was a power of attorney that allowed me to register Heather's vehicle for her in her mm-hmm. absence, which is absolutely asinine. Yeah. If you walk in there with the paperwork, they should let you. But I understand it. They want to make sure I'm not stealing somebody's tag.
Right.
So I guess it's okay. But
I've got to do that, and I've got to go get my little driver's license with the star on it before I fly.
Right. So just call and make an appointment or email them and make an appointment. It will be no problem.
They have got it
figured out. Kudos to the state and the county for getting this figured out because – it's late June going into July now.
Mm-hmm.
You should not have people standing in line in a parking lot for any reason.
Yeah.
Whatever it is they owe, null and void it.
Mm-hmm.
I made the suggestion 15 minutes after being in line, hey, what the state should have done was extend driver's licenses another year and tags 6 months with the knowledge that on the back end you're going to lose a year or 6 months off of your renewal.
Right.
The state gets all of their money. No one has to deal with this hassle. Apparently, the state of Pennsylvania listens to Sip and Chew because that's what they started doing. That exact same thing.
Oh, good for them. Yep. But they're one of those states that won't let anybody from Alabama come up there. So
I'm just hoping
Ohio doesn't do it because, my trip is to Cleveland in August.
Just zip over to Mississippi.
No, I don't have any relatives. Oh, I do have relatives in Mississippi, but I want to see relatives I've never met before in my life. So,
okay.
So I figure I better go.
What part of Ohio?
Cleveland.
Okay. So
rounds.
So, what you have to do that's cool is Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Going there if it's not, shut
right,
down.
Right, and the same thing would be, and it's not, but like 45 minutes drive away is Canton, Ohio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Pro Football Hall of Fame. Okay. Not NFL Hall of Fame. It's not the NFL Hall of Fame.
I know.
It's Pro Football Hall of Fame. So it's Canadian. There's mm-hmm. Arena League, all of it. So that's one I would like to see. I'm not a huge baseball fan, and if they never play baseball again, I won't notice other than I won't have to deal with those annoying baseball scores that should never under any circumstances be scrolled during a college football game.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to go to Coopertown.
Yeah.
I'd like to see the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But,
I want to go.
You're going to try and go to a Michael Simon restaurant, I'm guessing. Lolita.
Probably. Yeah. Probably.
Or Lola.
I've got to get with my friend who lives up there and is friends with Michael. But I do want to go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame and get my picture made with Kenny's bust. So, because, I've worked with him some. And,
right.
And, all our other history, mm-hmm. but it'd be nice to have that picture. And he was a fun guy to work with.
I'm sure he did. Well, fun was his middle name. Wasn't
well,
it?
It was fun to travel with him and then hear people. There, everybody's got a Kenny Staver story, and just listen to them talk about Kenny and their experience. And it was fun to do that. And then they're like, we would be in boardrooms, and you could hear a pin drop because they wanted to hear about, the ghost.
We got a call from John at Fish River wanting to know about antioxidants. But I tell you, I don't have anything against oxidants. Mm-mm. I'm not antioxidant.
I'm going to remind you of something we talked about some time ago.
All right, sir.
There are three wineries in this country that make Skeppanon wine, Muscadine wine. That's the winery in Natchez, Mississippi, Perdido Vineyards. Been to both of those. One I have not been to is in North Georgia, Dahlonega.
Yeah.
A friend of mine has been up there, and he says it's a real good wine. But these wineries produce wine that are 40 times higher in antioxidants than any other domesticated wine in this country.
Yeah, there's a winery over in Northwest Florida, not more than about an hour and a half from us, Defuniac Springs.
Is that the Honey Winery?
No, that's in beautiful Chunchula, Alabama. Grab a Heine.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, but they do a lot of blends with theirs. They're blending their Scupperdine and Muscadine with a lot of South American grapes mm-hmm. to make their wines. But it's a fun place to go to.
Mr. Edges has done that.
Yeah,
and he's brought actual wine in from Argentina and Chile and bottled it. You know? Mm-hmm. Because he's got the facility.
Did he blend it with the Scuppernong wine?
Sometimes, but it depends on what he's going to do. But he's had, I forget the grape, Bernarda. He's brought in like a 2,000-gallon tank of Bernarda in from South America and bottled it up.
And John, here's something I would like to hear Mike do real quick.
What's that?
I think you would too. List every varietal of grape. Alphabetically, please. Go.
I can't.
Okay.
I can't either.
Is it more than seven?
There's a lot.
All right. I'll work on that. How about just the letter Q? You got any that start with the letter Q?
I know some wineries that start with Coupe. Okay. Coupe.
So, John, what you been cooking? I hadn't seen you yet. You going to come see me? I'm off today.
Well, I've come up there to see you, and you're never there.
I'll see him when I'm there.
All you got to do is go back to the smokehouse area where the prime ribs are and just ask if I'm there.
Been there. One guy said never heard of you.
Yeah, well, I'm new. I'm new. That might have been Brian,
I got to go. I got to get the fire going. Susan's going to bring some steaks down.
Ooh.
She sent me a message wanting to grill them, so I got to get back with her and said, it's about time for a steak. I hadn't had a steak in so long.
I had one last night.
Oh, I'm jealous of both of you.
Okay, provolone now.
Provolone, buddy, and Baba Ganoush.
Baba Ganoush.
See you, John.
Yeah. Well, I had close to steak last night. I had a Whataburger.
I love Whataburger.
I love Whataburger. See, we are not anti-chains.
Right.
It's everything in moderation. Yeah. You should not, I don't think, if you're trying to be a positive influence mm-hmm. in your community, you should not eat more at chains than you do at local places.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 70-30 split sounds good to me. 70% of the time eat local, 30% do chains.
Well, you know, like sometimes I'll go to Texas Roadhouse.
Yeah, they have a great steak program.
They do have a phenomenal great steak program. I ate at Briquette's.
But that's not
Saturdays
a chain.
Ago.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's local. Your local.
Steak was phenomenal.
Absolutely. It was terrific stuff.
Went over here in Montlemar. Mm-hmm. But I'm a sucker when I'm getting off sometimes at night. I'll pull in the Sonic and get me some of those tater tots.
Like them tater tots. Yeah. Heather's had her share. Well, we got to go, Mike.
Is it that time
already? Yeah. She just threw that gang sign up in the air that tells us we got to go.
Get out there and support local more than ever. Yeah. Support local, be local by local.
And keep tipping, folks. Thanks for doing
that. Over tip if you can.
Yeah.
Over tip.
And can I say something?
Absolutely.
Vote local for the Nappies.
Vote sip and chew.
Sip and chew, baby.
Over Sean and Dalton.
Best donut jockey.
Provolone.
Provolone.